So this is week four of Refresh and Connect, and we've been going through what is going to amount to an 8-week series. By the way, seniors that are here and aren't going away for school, if you haven't talked to me, you can stay here through the remainder of the series, just so you know, all right? Through the remainder of the 8-week series. So this is week four. And this series, we're really going through the book, this discipleship book that we've got. Discipleship, just basically meaning growing in your faith and training and equipping you to know the fundamentals of the faith, the basics. And these are the things that we need to know. If we're going to call ourselves a Christian, a follower of Christ, then there are some things that we should be aware of and how things work. And we've talked about, so far, we've talked about the gospel. We talked about eternal security. Who could tell me what we talked about last week?
The Trinity,
which is what?
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yep. So this week we're going to talk about the Bible. The Bible. So if we're talking about fundamentals and we're talking about the basics of the faith, don't you think the Bible would need to be one of them as far as exactly what it's all about? So what is the Bible all about exactly? What is it? How do we quantify it? How should we look at it? How should we use it in our life? How important should it be to our life? All of those things. Let me start with just a few things, and you may have heard some of these things before. I talked about them a few weeks ago when we started the series, but just to like kind of put some things in perspective. So the Bible, the book, it is the best-selling book of all time. It is the book that has been printed more than any other book. It is actually the reason for the creation of the printing press. How many of you knew that? The printing press was actually created to mass-produce the Bible. That was the original purpose. We have printed pieces of paper, goes all the way back to the Bible, because they were just kind of done with handwriting it on parchment over and over again. And they figured out a way to mass produce the Bible, which ended up being the printing press. But it was written by over 40 different men from 3 different continents on the planet, written over a period of 1,500 years. The Bible is 1/4 prophecy. What's prophecy? Somebody tell me what prophecy is. No? What's prophecy? Yes. Yeah, like what's to come. Predicting the future would be a way of saying that as well, yeah. So the Bible is not a science book. It's not a history book. It's not an archaeological book, but it touches and comments on all of those in one way or the other. But you can't quantify it down into just one type of book because it talks about various aspects of all of those things. And it is completely and utterly without error whatsoever. That is one of the things that we believe. And so I want to talk about that for just a second. But look at this this verse in 2 Timothy. If you want to kind of put the whole like purpose of the Bible into one verse, this is a great one to choose. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, 2 verses. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and it teaches us what to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So right there, we're seeing all of the Bible, right? We got a couple of big words in there, inspired by God, and is useful to teach us and make us realize, to teach us what is good and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. How many times has the Bible done that for us, right? Think about that, like you have a verse and it just hits you like a brick wall, you know, or like somebody threw something at you and you're like, wow, so God put that verse specifically for me, for right now. You know, we've felt that before because that is one of the things the Bible is great at, I guess. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, I want to talk about 2 nerd words for a minute, 2 vocabulary words, if you want to call it that. Not to make this sound like school, but these are 2 important things to understand about the Bible. And we're going to talk about this in our groups today as well. But there's 2 big words, inspiration and inerrancy. inspiration. Anybody want to take a shot at what that means when we're talking about the Bible? What am I talking about when I say inspiration? Anybody? Yeah. Okay, like to be inspired to move forward and do something. Yeah, the Bible can do that. That's not what we're getting at when it comes to this, though. Here's what I mean by this. If you ever hear this statement, inspiration, meaning God breathed, all right, that the Bible was inspired by God, that God breathed out every word that is there. While the Bible was written by men, right, it was written by people, the words that they wrote down, the things that came from them to be incorporated in Scripture were breathed out by God, that God breathed every word of Scripture. So we believe that. The second thing is inerrancy. Anybody want to take a shot at that one? I even said it a minute ago. What is inerrancy? No errors, right? Yeah, it's kind of in the word. No errors. This is the fact that God's word contains no errors whatsoever. And this goes into scientific, historical, archaeological areas, as well as spiritual areas. Now, here's the thing. This is something that could be debated, yet nobody has really won this debate. Okay? The Bible agrees with itself and is completely, we believe, completely inerrant. And if there is a contradiction or something that somebody believes is maybe a contradiction in Scripture, I would love to have a conversation with them and for them to show me where the contradiction is, because any of the seeming contradictions that might seem to be there, after careful study, at least in my life, I can speak to this. I hope that one day you can speak to this as well and that you're not just taking Jay's word for it. But after looking at some of the things, because I've been at a place in my life where I've been like, I don't know if that like makes sense, right? But after you study to show yourself approved, as the Bible says we should, to study the Bible, it comes full circle and makes sense, and you start to understand it, because you need to understand the Bible from a historical perspective. You need to understand it from a scientific perspective. You need to understand it from an archaeological perspective and a cultural perspective and a right now perspective. How does the Bible apply to your life right now? And taking into consideration all those other things. People love to say that science will disprove the Bible. I love hearing that. Nope. No. To be honest, in many ways, the Bible works in conjunction with science. And in many ways, some of the things of science we see in the Bible, like the other way around. There's much of it there. We will talk about that in the winter time. Usually around January, February, we do something that we like to call apologetics, because that's what it's called, which is the defense of the faith and learning how to defend your faith. And so how do we defend those things? To understand the Bible, you kind of need to know some of those things. But here's the deal. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God proves true. Here's the deal, guys. If these things are not true, inspiration and inerrancy, here's where I spent time on those. The reason why I spent time on those two things, on the nerd words, right? Here's why. Because if those two things aren't true, then the Bible is just another book. It's just another book if those things aren't true. And I don't think there's anybody, even the most staunch atheist, who could honestly say the Bible is just another book. It's been around, and it's gone rounds with various people who think they're super smart. And the Bible has stood the test of time. And God's word says that God's word will stand the test of time. And sure enough, it has. Imagine that. God said something, and it's actually happening. Huh. Weird. We call that faith. But the thing is, if those two things aren't true, if one day we find out, oh, the Bible's not inspired and it's not inerrant, then it's just another book. But it's not just another book, because it's so much more than that. And so tonight you're also going to be talking about the need to study and a little bit about how to study. We're going to look at more of that next week, because in essence, sort of what we're doing with this whole eight-week series is kind of the how to study. Whether you realize it or not, you're sort of learning that. And so before you go into your groups tonight, I want to ask you this question as the connection point for the night. Here's the question. I want to personalize this before you go into the group. So here's your connection point before you go. What does the Bible mean to you? To you. Not to me. Not to the person next to you. What does the Bible mean to you? And here's what I mean by that. When somebody says the Bible, and you think about that, and you think about in your life, the Word of God, is it just another book? Is it just another book to you? And this might sound a little harsh when I say this next statement, but I want you to hear it for what it really is and what I mean by that. If the Bible is just another book to you, then honestly, your life probably reflects that. I don't mean that to be mean. I mean that to be a little bit of a gut check and a little like open your eyes for a second. Because if I didn't tell you the truth of things like that, then I really don't love you, do I? Only somebody that loves you is going to tell you something kind of that tough. And that's tough to hear. But if you can look at your life and look at some things, it might reflect how you actually think or believe about the Bible. Or don't. So what does the Bible mean to you? Is it just another book? Or is it your handbook for life? Is it your weapon for spiritual battle? Is it your shield that it should be? A shield of protection in many ways, a source of strength. The sword of the Lord, as it's sometimes called. Is it your connection to God? Because it can be and should be all of those things. All of those things. And having a better understanding of the Word of God will hopefully make it those things for you tonight. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you, Lord, and I pray that as we go into these groups, I pray, Father, that your Spirit would just move through this place. God, that you would open our eyes to see what you have us to see, to be honest with ourselves about maybe how we look at your Word and your words to us. God, you could have communicated to us in any way that you wanted, and you chose to put it into a book, and you chose to put it into this form of communication that is alive and is personal, Lord, for each and every one of us. At least it can be if we tap into it. So, Father, I pray that each one of us would take that idea into these groups. We'd be willing to talk, willing to communicate, to dive in, and to find what you have for us tonight, God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.